Stang Gang podcast time. Time to talk football with Rich Renner. And an off week after two non-conference games coming up, but then the LSC campaign begins in Portales against Eastern New Mexico. So you're off and running this season, and it seems like you found some offense this past Saturday.
Well, we did. We found some offense that we knew was there, just waiting for it to come out, and I was very pleased with the performance by everybody, in particular the offense and how we were able to throw the ball. And obviously wasn't able to run the ball as well as we'd like to, but, you know, Western Colorado did a great job of trying to take away the run, which we knew they would, and so we had to prepare for throwing the football. And if we didn't have four drops, we probably would have had more yardage.
I was going to say, you have to take what the defense gives you, right? And they're taking away the run.
Most definitely. And their staff does a great job of twisting and blitzing and trying to just, you know, confuse the quarterback and giving him different looks and what have you. And so, you know, you're definitely right. You take what the defense gives you. And there was a lot of holes and openings there for our offense. And I was proud of our offense and our coaches, how they put a great game plan together.
Maybe I'm overstating this, but it also helps you going forward, right? Because people are going to see now that you can throw the football, that you've got receivers that can catch the ball, that you can roll up yardage in the passing game. So now people can't just load up that box and stop the running game.
Most definitely. Most definitely. I think it definitely helps out both sides. You know what I mean? When I say both sides, both the off, but the pass and the run. And so we're excited about that. But you know, we knew even before game one that we could throw the football, and it was just a matter of us, utilizing it. And we didn't really have to as much against Missouri Southern just because we were running the ball so well. It was like, hey, stick to the run. We're getting yardage, and we're grinding the clock, and we're keeping our defense off the field. And so we didn't really necessarily have to have the pass. This game, we needed the pass. And obviously without the turnovers, we would have been victorious with the pass.
Well, I was going to ask you, were you holding back in week one knowing you had Western Colorado, or is it just the way things played out?
I think it's just how things played out, to be honest with you, Pete. I don't think it was anything that we were trying to, hold back from anybody. It was just a matter of, again, going back to what the defense gives you. And we just felt like the defense was giving us in the first game, opening up the run, and we were able to run the football. So, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And then obviously game two, we knew that they were going to take away the run, and we were going to have to throw it and get it out quick and let our speed take over. And I felt like that, our receivers did a great job of catching the ball, and our quarterbacks did it. Our quarterback did a great job of throwing.
The other thing that happened in Western Colorado is a couple of times in that game, you had to overcome adversity. You fell behind early. You fell behind early in the second half. Both times you were able to come back. You're in a position to win that game.
We were. And first of all, I thank the kids and the players, the players particularly, but also the coaches for all their hard work and in their fight in that game and the adjustments. We had a lot of adjustments. We didn't know what Western Colorado was, their first game. We didn't know kind of what they were going to do other than what we saw last year on film. And being a new year and new team, you never know the new wrinkles. And they came out and started running some RPO stuff. And so, we had to change stuff on the run defensively and had to adjust as well as offensively. We knew that they were kind of going to be very similar in what they did blitzing-wise. And so we knew we had to throw the ball. And I just, the kids battled. And again, a lot of those things we shot ourselves in the foot on early on that put us in the hole. But our kids didn't quit. They kept battling. And like I said, we kept moving the ball. And when we didn't throw the pick six to start the second half and then let them score on the first possession of the second half, where it was a 14-point swing, and now we're down 11 instead of up 3 at halftime. Our kids kept battling and kept fighting, and then once we ironed out the mistakes that we did in the first half, I think defense stopped 5 of the last 6 series. The fifth one, that one being a field goal, that we were getting 3 and outs, and it gave the opportunity for our offense to be in position to win it at the end, which was, all you can ask as a coaching staff and
as a
team is to give yourselves a chance at the end to win the game. And we did a great job getting all the way down to the 25-yard line, and then 4 straight plays, we couldn't move the ball. And I truly believe, Pete, we were going to win that game. Our kids thought that we were going to win the game, and I knew it was going to be a battle. I knew it was going to be a fight. I mean, you got to – you know, people don't realize, you know, we're on a bus for 10 hours. We're going up to a higher elevation. You know, we're going into a heated environment, which when I say heated environment, not in a sense of temperatures, but in a hostile environment, right, should I say.
Because opening a brand new stadium, of enthusiasm, yes, about Western Colorado. As you said last week in our podcast, they're national championship contenders. They're fired up about their football team.
That's exactly right. And so, and I thought our kids handled, you know, the crowd, they handled the pressure, they handled the situation, and it's sad, but we should have won that game. You know, obviously, you know, coaching wise, if we'd have done a few things here and there, I think, and had our kids better prepared, in certain situations, and that comes back on me as the head coach, that we'd have won that game.
Yeah, there's a couple of things I want to touch on. One is, how concerned are you about the turnovers when you evaluate the turnovers? Are those things you can clean up, or are you worried about this being a problem going forward?
I don't think I worry about being a problem forward. I just think that we have to do a better job of, I think, you know, the first one that, I think that his arm got hit, and that was on the quarterback, that he fumbled at the very beginning to set up the first touchdown, which, again, there's 14 points right there, you know, that you take away, and we beat them handedly instead of losing by five. You know, the second turnover that we had was the pick six, was the interception, and obviously he threw it right to him, didn't see him. You know, and again, it's that defense that just drops out, and the receiver's wide open. If he just puts it over his head and drops it in there, it's a first down, and we're not having this conversation. and we're talking about being 2-0. And then you have the third one, and if he just, again, launches it over the D lineman to the running back that's not so close to him, if the running back had a little bit more distance instead of being right behind the defensive lineman, he scores. I mean, we got three blockers out front. There's one DB. I mean, if it doesn't score, it's getting it down to at least a 5-yard line. So those are three crucial plays that, you know, if they go in our favor, we win the game handily. If they don't go in our favor, we lose it by five.
Well, and we talk about this all the time with football. It's usually 3, 4, 5 plays that kind of determine the outcome of a game.
Most definitely. And in a game like this, that's a top-ranked team, a team that's ranked in the top 25, a team that you're on the road with 10 hours away, that you've got a long bus ride and a long trip that you've made, you can't make those mistakes. You know what I mean? And when you're playing a good team, you know, maybe a team that's a little bit lesser and not in the top 25, you can get away with those things and still overcome it. And the crazy part is we almost overcame
it. I was going to say, you almost overcame it. And you're not going to play a perfect game.
No.
I don't think anybody has ever played a perfect game.
No, that's not. That's exactly right. But we always talk about, you know, not dropping the ball at receiver, obviously not turning the ball over on offense, and then obviously creating turnovers, and we didn't create turnovers on defense except for the one that was kind of a gift, and we didn't get sacks that we needed, hits on the quarterback. So my point was that, you know, there were some things there that we've got to definitely improve on. And again, nothing against them. They did a great job of taking those things away from us. Their quarterback was very efficient. I wouldn't say he was a great thrower, but he was efficient with the ball. And he knew when he got pressure to get rid of it in time, so he didn't take a sack. And then he was mobile enough to get out of the pocket.
I think he was their leading rusher.
He was. He was their leading rusher because he had a 68-yard yeah, touchdown <right. laughs> run and that empty that they got us on in the first half that we had to get corrected. But like I said, I mean, it was a good learning experience, obviously, for our team and where we're at, and it also gave us hope that our kids knew that we should have won that game, and our coaches knew we should have won that game,
and you can see how close you are,
and we show how close we are. Now, again, you know, how good is Western Colorado? I think they're pretty good. I think they're a playoff contending team last year.
They were ranked 15th for whatever that's worth.
That's,
I mean, I know
exactly
we're early
right.
in the year, but
and that was their first game, but they were a solid coach team, and they played hard, and they didn't quit either. I mean, they battled back after we battled back and took the lead at halftime. They came
good
back
football game,
very great football game, and our kids battled too. So I was, like I said, I was proud of our kids, and I'm excited for the future.
I don't want to get too much in the weeds here, but people in my business, fans, tend to think about halftime adjustments. You're making those adjustments in the first half after a possession or two. What is that process like in terms of making those adjustments on the fly, on the sideline?
Well, it's a lot different this year than it has been in the past. In years past, obviously, we didn't have the tablets on the sideline like the NCAA allows to now, kind of like the NFL, to where we can actually see what gap it hit, who didn't get in the right gap, who didn't fill this, who didn't fill that. And so literally we are making adjustments every series based upon what we're seeing. If there was a run that was over 10 yards or there was a run that got them a first down, and so we want to find out why that happened, who wasn't where they were supposed to be. A lot of times in the passing game, you can kind of figure if you're in man coverage or in zone who the person is. But a lot of times in the middle of the field, in a sense of the middle, I'm talking about the O-line and D-line, there's sometimes in the run game that, you know, a kid will say, hey, he blocked me this way when he really didn't. And and so you see the video and you can show him, and now he can see, oh, okay, I didn't get off that block, or I thought I was in my gap and I wasn't in my gap. And so we had a couple of those during the game, and we had to just show the kids that, hey, you know, what you thought is not what happened, and here it is. You know, the eye in the sky doesn't lie. And so you want to show them and get that corrected, which we did. And so I would just say that the corrections happen a lot faster than they had been in the past, just because of the video that we can go back and watch and make those corrections. And those kids like to watch that and see that for themselves. And so I think it's and again, the halftime adjustments are still happening. Sometimes, you know, you save plays for the second half that you want to hold back, like you said, that you don't want to show the first half and those things. But we have to do a better job. You know, obviously when we came out that second half, like I told you, we needed a big stop, didn't get the stop, you know, on defense. They moved the ball down and scored. And then our offense got the ball and then threw the pick six. And I think that's where we kind of dug ourselves in a hole, being down, you know, that 14-point swing. Now we're down 11 points. But what I loved about our kids was the attitude was still positive. You know, we felt like we could still win the game. And like I said, we got those things corrected, which if we would have got them corrected a little bit earlier, then hopefully those two scores don't happen. And then if those two scores don't happen, we win that game easily.
And your defense shut them out in the fourth quarter, got some big stops down the stretch to give your offense a chance. So while the numbers may not look great, the defense did make plays down the stretch for you.
Most definitely they did. We got some things, like I said, corrected, and we were having to change the coverage and in the fronts and in the alignments, and they were exposing some of our weaknesses. And so, again, that's where we had to really coach on the fly and get it corrected. And I was proud of our defensive staff for getting that corrected and coaching those kids up, and those kids taking the coaching and applying it out there on the field and believing in us. And then the offense obviously believing in the defense as well, because early on, you know, we weren't stopping anybody. And the offense had to keep scoring to keep us in the game. And so I just told the offense that, hey, we're going to get it corrected. And we did. And the offense, like I said, just kept going. I wish we could have finished that last drive. And we got to continue to – and we had some personal fouls. We had some penalties that hurt us on some of those offensive drives that we had to correct and discuss and bring up to make sure that stuff doesn't happen again. But other than that, I mean, like I said, you know, we're not too far away. I really believe that this team has a chance to be really special and really good. But it's gonna determine how we rebound and respond from this game, whether we take it and be content and happy with a tight ball game against a 15th ranked team in the country on the road. Or do we see that we should have won that game and we need to get better and we need to take care of those little things and learn from it?
Well, that kind of leads me into the next question. I mean, in a sense, you're 0-0 because now conference starts, but what do you take out of the two non-conference games?
Well, I think, first of all, I think that, you know, there's a lot to take out of those two games. I mean, obviously they were one game being at home and being against a MIAA team that was very physical and a very big team. This Western Colorado group was a bigger team as well, not as big as Missouri Southern, but obviously a much better team. So, you know, again, you know, you want to see, can we rise to the occasion of the talent that we're playing? And I felt like that, you know, getting that first win was huge, because then obviously the kids started believing in themselves and having the confidence and the swagger a little bit that hey, we have a chance to do something special. And then obviously going to Western Colorado, we knew it was going to be a great test. We knew it was going to be a test not only with higher elevation and And obviously with the mountains and the distance and the travel and just everything that goes along with going 10 hours away, that we knew that, and then obviously them being a good team from the year before and had most of their team back, and especially their quarterback. So we knew that this was going to be a good test for us. Now, we knew also, too, that we should have won this football game and had a chance to win the football game going into it. I mean, there wasn't any doubt or any question as a coaching staff or as players that we couldn't have played with these guys. It's not like that, you know, obviously they're the greatest or the national championships that we're, you know, national championship team that we're facing. So, like I said, I just, I was proud of our kids, the way they competed and fought. There are some of those hiccups there that we need to eliminate, which is the turnovers. And like you said, that we can't keep having them. You can't win a football game against a good team with three turnovers. You can't do those things and expect to overcome them. You can against a team that, like I said, that's below 500 or a 500 team, but not a team that's a playoff team. So I took a lot out of this last 2 weeks, not only as being the head coach and in preparation and how to in the travel and just all the things that go into it, the little things that people don't realize that you have to be on your P's and Q's with, and you have to be ready for adversity. And I talked to the kids about that we were going to have adverse situations on this trip, and in which we had. Luckily they weren't huge, but they were adverse situations that we had to overcome, and how we reacted to them was going to determine how we move forward. And I thought, like I said, that our kids handled it really well. And what people don't realize is we don't have a very senior oriented team. I mean, we have a very young team. There was a lot of guys on this trip of 66 kids that we took, that which is what the Lone Star Conference allows us to take. Now, a non-conference game, we could have taken more, but, with the budget and everything else, we took 66, which is what we would take in.
And if that's what you're going to do the rest of the year, it kind of makes sense to take that approach for the non-conference game in preparation for the LSC.
That's exactly right. And so, those 66 kids, a lot of those kids had never, like I said, had never been on a road trip before. So Thursday night, I'm having to go through and talk to them about all, how to act on the bus, what to wear, how to act when we go into the restaurant, and the travel, and then where we're going to go, after we eat, and where we're going to practice at, and what time we're going to be here and there, and the snacks. And I mean, just in, in the waters and the hydration and just everything involved in that, that we had to explain to them. And then, obviously we get to the game, and then, they'd been through the warm up before, obviously the first game the week before, but now it's on the road. So it's a little bit different. So, so again, there's just all that newness, with a team that you're taking. And like I said, for them to be able to respond and to continue to battle and fight and compete and stay together. I mean, it was awesome. It was really cool. I thought, they didn't like I said, they didn't point fingers. They didn't hang their hat. They didn't fold up or anything like that when we were down 14. And so they still had the belief and confidence that we were going to win it. And if we hit that, if we get the 2-point conversion on that last touchdown, now we're down by three, and we only needed a field goal, which we would have got at the 25-yard line. So, like I said, it was a play here or there that really made the difference. And like you said, it's about four plays if you take away just one of those, interceptions or fumbles. It was a different ballgame.
Special teams should play pretty well.
They did. Obviously we had the kickoff return with Jaden Burnett, which I congratulate.
Special teams player of the week in the LSC.
Yes, sir. And so I was proud of him. But again, it took 10 other guys to get their blocks to open that seam for him to be able to run, which was a crucial touchdown that we needed at that time when, we're down 14-0 or 14-3. And so now it's 14-10 and we're back in the game. And so it was a huge spark for us and our team. And then obviously, Diego did a great job punting, getting the ball down there and us, covering and pinning. I think we had one return that he had kicked in the middle and so we talked about that, I think our kickoff team, other than I think one kickoff, they got out to the 31-yard line, but I think for the most part we did a good job in special teams, and we like I said, we did miss a point there with a bad snap that in the hold that we didn't get the extra point on, which again would have been a 4-point situation instead of a 5-point, but that still would have forced us to for a touchdown there at the end. But we don't have to go for two. We get that one extra point. We get that extra point on the last touchdown, and now you're down three, and we tie the game up and go into overtime. And so again, it's all those little things that added up for us to lose by five.
So you don't have a game this Saturday, so you just kick your feet up this week, right? And
take
it easy.
Watch
sitcoms back in the office.
I wish that was the case. I tell you, Coach Kelly and his staff do a great job with that triple option and Kelly Lee and at Eastern there that we play next week. And so we've been grinding with the triple option to try to slow him down. And I know he's got a great team and a great fullback and transferred in Mississippi College that we faced last year. And then his quarterback's back, and he's doing a great job managing that offense. And they're scoring a lot of points. And so we just got to try to find a way to slow the Greyhound down.
It is what it is, but do you like having the off week this early in the season? Would you rather have an off week later in the season? Would you rather just play every week?
Well, that's a great question. I think it's good to have an off week. I think it's good for the kids. I think it's good for the coaches. I think it's good for everybody. I think you just, you've been going so long and you like being in a routine where it's every week, it's something, and you just get going in a routine. But also, too, you have injuries that happen, and that bye week gives you a chance to get guys healthy and get guys back. And also, too, when you're playing the triple option, it definitely helps us to, so it's actually a blessing in disguise because, again, depending upon what type of offense and defense you're facing, it gives you another week to work on that.
Maybe not even in disguise.
Exactly.
you'd mentioned the word injuries. Health-wise, how are you doing?
We're doing great. We came really, really good out of the Missouri Southern game, which I was shocked because it was a physical game. This last game, I think we've got one knee and – on a backup lineman, and we've got a shoulder for Jaden Burnett that I think is hopefully not going to be too serious. They're looking at it and thinking he's going to be back pretty soon, but nothing really major that was season ending, which is a blessing. And so again, you're always going to have those bumps and bruises. You're always going to have those nagging things, but for the most part, in a game that was I wouldn't say it was a physical game, but it was still physical. It probably wasn't as physical as it was last week against Missouri Southern, but it was still a physical type game that we still were able to stay healthy.
What are the, in terms of the players, I know you still got practice, but what's the message for them in this off week?
I think anything else is we've got to work on ourselves and we've got to get better. And like I said, we've got to eliminate the turnovers. We got to learn about the personal fouls. We got to eliminate, those little things that are holding us back from being really, really good. And that's what I told the kids last night or yesterday in the meeting was that it's up to you guys. How do we want to write the rest of the story, of this season? Do we want to write it and be satisfied with a moral victory if there is ever one, which to me there's not. A loss is a loss. I don't care who it's against. And then on top of that, it was a game that in my opinion, we let slide through our fingers. We had that game and we should have won the game and we didn't. And so are they going to correct and buy into what I'm preaching and what I'm wanting them to do, as well as the coaches that's coaching them, play in and play out, or are they going to still kind of do their own little thing and keep costing us, a game in a tough situation like that? And so, Eastern, you're not going to get many possessions on offense. Defense, they're going to try to grind the clock and they're going to snap the ball, it's the last second before the 40-second clock is up and they're going to control the time of possession. And so, defensively, we've got to be able to get off the field and can't allow them to have the long extended drives of 10 or 12 play drives. But then offensively, you don't get many opportunities. So you don't have time to go three and out and think that you're going to get more opportunities. So you got to make the most of your opportunities when you get the ball, and you got to make the most opportunities of when you're trying to stop them.
Do you want the guys to get away from football this weekend, or do you? How do you approach that?
I don't think it's necessarily that, because I think it's still early in the season. I don't think football, is a thing that for these kids. I feel it and sense it. I don't feel that it's been a drag for them. I mean, we've just started. I mean, we've only been in two ball games, and the hard part of this is, like I said, is we're 1-1, and we still have that bitter taste in our mouth that you want to get out there and play again because, you know, we let one slip away and you want to get back on the winning track. So I don't think it's something that they need a break for necessarily, but obviously the triple option brings a whole different animal than what we've been doing going against each other. As far as the run game and the counters and the powers and the zones and the ISOs and all that other stuff that we normally see week in and week out. Now you're seeing a whole different offense. So it's a whole different animal that the defense sees. And then they're going to do some different things defensively, you know what I mean, that our offense has got to work on. But like I said, I think it's more focus on us, working on us, and us getting better than it is on anything else.
Well, we'll talk a lot more about Eastern New Mexico and the challenges they'll bring when we do this again next week on the Stang Gang Podcast. We invite you to be with us every week. Be sure you're telling your friends about the Stang Gang Podcast. And make your plans to be at Memorial Stadium on September 28th. That's the next time you'll be home. It's a long space in between home games, but we're looking forward to seeing you back here in Wichita Falls after you beat Eastern New Mexico. Again, we'll talk more about that game next week. Coach Renner, as always, thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Pete. Go Mustangs.